Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back, 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that our good friend Diana Furchgott-Roth is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Diana is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, a great friend, one of the smartest people I know, the senior fellow with Manhattan Institute, columnist for RealClearMarkets.com, and she's had a great career and a very impressive career working for a number of different administrations, including George H.W. Bush as economist on the staff of the president, and also on President Reagan's chief council of economic advisors. And she is here to talk to us about something that she did yesterday in Congress, in a congressional committee. Diana Furchgott-Roth, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much for inviting me.
It's good.
So yesterday I testified before the Health Subcommittee of the House Ways and Means Committee up on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Now how did you, were you invited to testify there?
I was invited, yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so I believe you told me that there were actually two panels that were being heard in that committee. Remind us again, which committee was it?
This was the Health Subcommittee of the House Ways and Means Committee. This is the committee
right.
that writes the tax bill, where any tax
right.
bill in Congress has to start.
Right. And so there were two panels. Tell us what the two panels talked to the members of Congress about.
So the first panel talked to the members of Congress about whether the law, the new health care law, was constitutional. And what was really interesting is that the representatives didn't seem to be focused so much on the constitutionality as to whether it was important for workers to have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So Democratic Congressman Pascrell said that everybody needs insurance. They're all going to have health, need health care at some point in their lives, so employers should provide it. That seemed to be his main argument.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there was the panel I was on the economic costs of
right.
Obamacare.
The economic impact of this law. You know, I guess I can kind of understand how members of Congress would think about the human factor of this debate. They're elected by their constituents and they're real people, they're real families that they deal with, real businesses and employees. I can sort of see how a congresswoman would take a position, you know, one way or the other on the humanity of this. But what's been interesting to me is to hear some of the comments by some of the Supreme Court justices on this, and their purview is not about humanity at all. It's about the Constitution, isn't it?
That's right, yes, yes. And as I said at the beginning of my remarks, just because people are going to need health care at some point, they also need other things like food and housing
right.
and clothing. We don't ask employers to provide those. Even though that's not in the Constitution.
Right. But it was interesting.
And there isn't any reason employers should provide those services.
Well, of course, providing health care for employees is a 20th century structure that got started in the 20th century. And, you know, we do that for our employees. We contribute to the health care expenses of our tenured employees in my business. And so I understand that. So in the constitutional panel that you had yesterday, was anything resolved? I mean, what was the result of that panel?
Well, nothing was really resolved because the three witnesses for the Republicans continued to say that it wasn't constitutional. So there was a great deal of discussion. But I wouldn't say anything was resolved.
Why did they say it was not constitutional? Do you remember?
They said that there wasn't anything in the Constitution that says that this has to happen, and also once you start requiring people to purchase health care. That's the constitutional issue. If you require people to purchase health care, then it doesn't stop. Why don't you have to have them do other things for their health also? And it's a never-ending cycle.
And this is the part that this is what I meant, Diana, about the humanity issue and the constitutional issue. If this what's being decided by the Supreme Court literally today, probably to a large degree, is not about this health care bill, is it? It's about how far the government can go to do anything to compel its citizens to do anything, not just about health care, isn't it?
That's right, yes. And one of the justices said, if you can compel them to buy health insurance, why can't you compel them to have a gym membership?
Right.
Can't you compel them to have a cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are also in their interest. And other people have said, can't you compel them to eat a healthy diet?
Can't you compel them
to eat broccoli?
That's the next thing that's coming, isn't it?
Well, you're already seeing it because certain foods, the government is saying that certain foods cannot be sold.
Right.
And in New York City, they're saying certain foods must not be served at restaurants. So that's already with us, and that restaurants have to post the calorie count of
right.
the foods that they serve.
Yeah, and see, I think information about food is a good thing, just as information about health care is a good thing. But citizens should be able to make up their own mind, and businesses should be able to have to compete based on the relationship that they have with their employees.
Right. Yes. Exactly.
Because if I want to compete for good employees, then I have to step up my commitment to my employees. I have to pay them a salary that's competitive. I have to provide them with benefits that are competitive or not and be less competitive. That's the way the free market economy works, isn't it, Diana?
That's how it works, yes. And you provide health insurance for your employees, not because you're a nice person, although I know you are, but because that's part of the compensation package that's going to attract and keep good people to work for you.
Right.
And by the way, it shouldn't be like that. Your employees should be able to buy equally inexpensive health insurance on the outside. They should not have to rely on you for health insurance, just like they don't rely on you for food or auto insurance or life insurance.
That's exactly right.
Health insurance should be the same.
It should be portable. What you're describing
right.
is called portable. That's exactly,
and also available.
And that's exactly what we do here in this company, my company. We provide HSAs, health savings accounts. We contribute toward the premium, and we actually pay the premium. If they leave our employee, they take it with them. And that's real health care reform right there, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.